Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is June the 15th, and I'm with Scott Patty for another Words of Grace podcast. Hello, Scott.
Good afternoon, Justin.
We have a cup of coffee in our hands.
Yeah, you brew a good cup. Thank you.
So here's a quick question. This has nothing to do with Sunday. Your favorite cup of coffee ever, where was it?
Oh, when? My goodness.
That's a hard question.
Oh, my goodness.
Favorite cup of coffee ever.
Okay, I may have to do a little shout out to a friend of ours.
Okay.
Lee Broadwell.
Okay.
To me, makes the probably the best espresso that you can get in Nashville.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a compliment.
Yeah, it's great. Taylor Street Coffee.
Yeah, Taylor Street Coffee.
I can't believe we just did a commercial. Are we allowed to do that?
Yeah, that's okay.
Podcast?
We're fine.
He's not a sponsor, by the way.
You were really just, you're crediting it to Lee.
You asked the question.
He happens to have a coffee
that's
shop.
That's right. He makes a very good
because
cup
you had
of
it in his home well before.
That's right. He used to brew it in his house, and now he has a little kiosk coffee shop.
Yep.
And it's probably the best I've had.
All right.
But you know, I make just pour over coffee, I make it pretty decent at my own house every morning.
That's good.
But you do too, Tucker. You make a great cup of coffee.
Yeah.
All right, we need to move on.
Yeah, we need to move on.
Yeah.
Well, we're back, and we were together on Sunday.
We were.
Not everyone, because there were still some watching the live feed at home.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I went and listened to that in another room in one of the services, and I thought it sounded great.
Good.
The
we
drums,
had a lot of people working
it was
on that.
So good. Yes, we had so many people working on it, but the drums sounded good. I missed the drums.
Big shout out to the tech people who helped us get that all
our sound
worked
people.
Out.
I know Brad was definitely involved in
that. Yeah, Chris
but
and
it was
Lee
so
and
good.
Others. Yeah, Spencer.
Yeah, it was good to see the chapel again on the screen.
Yeah, good to be in the chapel.
It was good to be in the chapel. Yeah, and so we had three services. We had some simulcast rooms on site as well. It was a great Sunday just to be back and see people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think we'll get our legs, too.
The way I looked at it, Scott, was, you know, when we first started the whole COVID-19 lock in your home kind of thing, the video chat was kind of awkward.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, we got used to it.
Yeah.
Now, we may have gotten tired of it by the end.
Yeah.
Hopefully, this will not happen in this case. But I think we'll get used to some of the differences, right?
I think
we
so.
We got to clean in between, and some are going to wear masks, some may not. You know, volunteers are wearing masks. So all of that, you know, will be a little different. But I think we'll get used to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
We will. And I think, in fact, I anticipate one Sunday behind us, I anticipate we'll feel a lot more comfortable next week.
Yeah, I think so. And so
I hope anyway.
Yeah. It was good. It was good. It was great to be there. Great to sing and worship. And so let's talk about the sermon. So,
okay.
You in like very good fashion picked up right where you left off.
Mm-hmm.
You just came right back to Romans chapter 3.
Yeah.
We've been in the book of Romans before this and then went right back to Romans 3.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about the sermon. Give us a little bit of an overview.
Yeah.
But even maybe some of the why you decided to go back. You talked a little about Sunday, but maybe for those that weren't able to listen, why did you choose to pick right back up? It may have just been easier, but there probably is more to that. But why go back to Romans 3 and not do something different for the first Sunday back?
Mm-hmm. You know, I explained I thought about doing something different. As time went on, my plans changed because we kept having to delay longer and longer.
How many weeks was it? You said
13 weeks. We were not gathered in person. And so, I had lots of thoughts about what the first sermon would be. And actually, to be honest with you, Justin, just because of the way I am, I often second guess my decisions related to these things. And so even last week as I was preparing, I was thinking to myself, this is about universal sin. This is about the human race. This is about all are under sin. You know, Romans 3:9, all are under sin. And I thought, boy, this is kind of heavy in a very challenging season of our nation and even world with the virus, but our nation with racial tensions and discussions and just, you know, pain and then in our church, it's just, so I thought, this is this just too much, too heavy?
Yeah.
And here's, you know, I just kind of operate from a conviction. And I've done it for years, and it's not on a, always an easy conviction to live out, but it is the Word of God speaks.
Yeah.
And sometimes, at least for me, I'm not telling other people how to do it. I can just say in my own life, sometimes if I try to get too, the word's not creative, but if I try to get to address a topic too much and put too much weight there, it I often end up regretting that because I go places I don't need to go.
Yeah.
And I have just found and have come to the conviction that the Word of God speaks, and that if you stay the course, usually what's in there is going to speak even to the moment. Mm-hmm. And I particularly found after going through all of my mental gymnastics over the last several weeks of what's the first sermon going to be, as I continued to read Romans and Romans 3, I thought, I think this speaks to the universal need of the human race as we talk about the needs of different kinds of people and have a discussion about race. So I just thought it was appropriate to stay right there.
Yeah.
And to go and to see. Of course, you can't say everything.
Right.
There's always more to say.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm preaching a 35-minute sermon. I might have gone 40 Sunday.
Yeah, I came up to you, by the way, and you were like, I got to get my legs underneath me. I'm like, I think your legs are underneath you. They're good.
Yeah, yeah. It was a little long. But anyway, yeah, longer. Not long, but longer than I had planned. But anyway, you can't say it all in that time. And I know that. So I'm hoping that the Word of God for the moment, mm-hmm. Romans 3, was what our congregation needed mm-hmm. for us to get centered mm-hmm. In God, in the Word, in mm-hmm. Christ. And we'll keep going.
Yeah. It's so, hearing you just say that, I mean, this is such a sidetrack, but being a part of a congregation in a church who's always going to keep the Bible in its rightful place. Mm-hmm. Is a comforting thing, because I think when you can be in places right, it's sometimes you think, okay, I got to come up with something really creative, mm-hmm. but when you say, man, I'm going to let the Word of God sit, mm-hmm. the Word of God's going to have the final word, mm-hmm. and that's a comforting place to be, which we do believe that it's the Word of God, it's living and it's active, and it's just so comforting to know that.
Another way to look at that is we were in Romans chapter 3, mm-hmm. which makes the statement that we have, Paul says, we have leveled the charge and we've made the case that all Jews and Greeks are under sin. And he means all of everybody, as we saw in the passage there from 1 through 3. And when you read that, instead of having to necessarily look for a passage that fits the times, when you read Romans 3, you start to see the times. It speaks to us about the times.
Yes,
you read that and you see new ways of looking at Romans 3 based on what we're experiencing in the world.
Yeah,
that's the experience for me. As I was reading through Romans 3 about universal sin and the all passages, but then continuing on past that into the righteousness for all who believe, for everyone who believes, you start to see the commonalities mm-hmm. of sin and the righteousness of Christ through faith speak to the divisiveness of our current times.
Yeah.
If we weren't in those times, we might not be seeing all of those kinds of applications.
Yeah.
But in those times, we see how Romans 3 speaks to it. So that's the thing. I didn't have to go looking for a new text to deal with the times. Yeah. I saw the times through the text we were already in.
Yeah, and that's a good way to look at it, Scott. I think of, you know, I always go to the eye doctor. I have horrible eyes. And when you get that little machine and they're flipping the different lenses to see what lens is going to be the best for your viewing.
Yeah.
And you come in, it's blurry, and then they slowly start changing those lenses. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's getting more clear now.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what the Word of God does is into our world and we live in, right?
Yeah.
Man, it's just looking blurry. I don't know how to make sense of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And the more you start laying that scripture over, you're like, oh, mm-hmm. it's getting a little more clear now.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that there's not other issues we got to talk around, the tensions and all that's happening, but that helps. The Word of God gives us more of a clear picture.
Yeah. Well, totally. And one more thing. I know you got a question for me today, but one more thing that I'll say about being in a congregation and maturing as a congregation together. I know that on Sunday, preaching that message, I didn't apply that message in all the ways that it could apply.
Yeah.
Of course I didn't. Right. I don't know all of them.
Exactly.
I can't see that much. I don't have the time to do that. But I'm hoping that the more our congregation matures and grows in the Word, mm-hmm. and the more we as a congregation sit under the Word, that we sharpen our own ability, our own discernment, our own skill set of seeing how the Scripture applies to life and to our lives, even if it didn't get preached about.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of me preaching a passage and then having, you know, the final, you know, the five application points that packages it all up completely and sends people out with a complete way to do this, it's just not realistic.
Yeah.
It's better to put the Word before us, look at the applications as we can, but then people go out with it and they live with it all week long, mm-hmm. and they see, as part of their own Christian maturity and discipleship, how they're going to apply the truth of the text that week.
Yeah.
Because there's no way it can be done in a sermon.
Yeah.
So sermons should be helping us and feeding us to go live it out in our own creative obedience throughout the week.
Yeah, that's good. Well, you know, again, when I ask the question, we'll say one more thing, and I really thought it was beautiful. We talked about this already, how you were talking about all have sinned. We're all under the condemnation of sin. And then the last song we sing was about the throne.
Yeah.
And it said all people
around
tongues,
the throne.
Tongues, tribes, languages around the throne. It's like this all and then all. And it was like this, you see the problem and you see where it's heading.
That's right. And Jesus is the one that gets us there.
Yes. It was such a beautiful picture. Because, I mean, that's a very heavy text. And you sit there and go, oh. And then it's like, oh, but wait. Look where we're heading.
That's right.
And that's beautiful. Uh-huh. There's a different all coming that is glorious. That's around. It's just, it was so good.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's a question that I thought of. So obviously this text, Scott, in Romans chapter 3 is talking about justification.
Mm-hmm.
It's talking about how we're all under the condemnation of sin, and faith in Christ is then what cures us of that sin. That's our right standing before God. You talked about the righteousness of God on Sunday. And so, but my thought was, okay, now that we, let's say we come to faith in Christ, there's sin still, there's this word that we say a lot, indwelling sin at grace, and we've talked about it a lot. Help us with that.
Okay.
What is indwelling sin? Because I see the status that we need to be made right with God, you know, in Romans chapter 3, but now I'm thinking, okay, we are a new creation, but that doesn't mean that sin is gone. It's not like we're now perfect and we walk around making all the right decisions.
Right.
We still struggle with sin. We still struggle with hate. We still struggle with lust. I mean, we can go on and on. So help us in like being disciples, followers of Jesus. What is indwelling sin? How would you define that according to Scripture?
Mm-hmm.
How do we fight it? How do we identify? I mean, there's so many questions I could ask, but I just gave you like 50 questions in one. Just start with what is indwelling sin?
Yeah.
Help us think through this.
All right. Well, okay. So we use the word indwelling sin to speak of the sin in terms of its temptation and the desires that are not in keeping with God's glory and obedience in the new birth that remain in us even after we become a Christian, even after we are forgiven or justified or reconciled to God. There we say there is still within us, there are disordered desires out of sync with God's will from the self, and that remains, and that's what we call indwelling sin.
Okay.
And what do we do with it? We put it to death.
Okay.
So here's maybe a way to help us understand it. We can speak in terms of what happens to us at salvation, what we continue to do as saved people, and what will happen to us when we are finally what we might call home or finally glorified or saved, okay? So when a person becomes a Christian, we can call that justification.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about in Romans 3.
Yeah.
There is, by faith, by grace through faith, God declares that a person is right with Him. God justifies that person, forgives them of their sin, and grants them, imputes to them a right standing with himself, righteousness. Yeah. We're going to talk about that on Sunday.
Okay.
So that happens. And we're also born again. Mm-hmm. Being born again is an instantaneous experience by the Spirit. And being declared right with God is an at-the-moment experience. Now we are Christians, and we start to do what we call, in our language, live the Christian life. And another word comes into play. That word is sanctification. This is something that keeps happening in our lives. We keep growing. In that area of life, after we become a Christian and before we're finally home, we are putting to death sin and its evil desires.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of passages, Romans 6, Romans 8, Colossians 3, plenty of passages in the Bible that talk about putting to death or considering ourselves dead or putting off the old.
Yeah.
This is what we put in the category of sanctification, where we're growing in our faith, becoming more holy, and putting to death sin more and more. That's life. And then we're on our way to what we would call glorification, where we are like Christ. The beauty of glorification is indwelling sin will be put to death, put away, put off in its final and complete form. We will be like Christ, and we won't even be tempted anymore in glorification when we're glorified. Which to me, everybody says, what's going to be so beautiful about heaven? And I'll tell you, there's a lot of things. Number one, primarily, we get to see our Savior face to face. But right after that, to me, I won't struggle with indwelling sin anymore.
I think it's hard for us to even wrap our mind around what that looks like. Because I think we're tempted more than we think. I think it's all around.
I mean, I can't wait to see my Savior face to face. And I can't wait to not have indwelling sin and temptation in my life anymore. That's glorification. So that's the way we see it. So again, justified by faith is something that happens to us when we are saved. We're born again, justified by faith. Then there's this where we live now, putting to death sin. We're being sanctified. We're growing. We're reckoning ourselves dead to sin and taking on more and more of Christ's likeness and holiness, moving toward the day when we will be presented blameless before God in a state of glorification, when indwelling sin will be no more and we'll see Jesus face to face.
Okay, that's helpful. One follow-up question. How do you think understanding what indwelling sin is and that we still struggle with sin post coming to know Christ, how does that help us as an individual follower of Jesus to understand that reality? How does it help a congregation walk together in community?
Well, brothers and sisters in Christ actually help each other progress in sanctification or progress in holiness. Which means brothers and sisters in Christ in a congregation, we can help each other put off the old self, put to death sin. We can do that in numerous ways. We can pray for each other. We can talk about our sin struggles with each other. We can encourage each other. We can check up on each other. We can say, oh, that's when you sin? Okay, well, that's when your temptation is? Okay, well, how about you come spend some time with me? We'll take a walk. We'll do something recreational, or we'll spend some time in the Word. Because if that's when you're tempted to sin, let's be together so we can help each other. So congregations live together, but not just to put off. Congregations live each other to help each other put on, like put on the new self, like take on the qualities of Christ, like serve together. So, you know, we're made for each other. And the reason we have many members in the body of Christ is not just each to use their spiritual gift to do a project or to do a ministry, but it's so that each can mutually exhort one another all the more while the day is drawing near. Hebrews chapter 10. And we call it at Grace mutual discipleship. Mutual discipleship is helping each other put to death indwelling sin, as well as take on the beautiful qualities of Jesus to be more like him and to walk filled with the Spirit.
I think as an individual follower of Jesus, for me, Scott, when I understand that reality, that which I know it's a reality because I experienced the struggle of sin after coming to Christ, it means I've not arrived. Like there's still work to be done. So it always, for me, has me kind of checking my life. Okay, you know, I don't think I have a problem with that, but do I? You know, just kind of thinking through that and just evaluating. And I may come out going, okay, I think I'm the Lord's working on that. But I think there's always a spirit in me of like, I haven't arrived. I'm not perfect. I'm working towards Christ's likeness.
Well, totally. And I know we don't have time, but maybe some other day we can talk about this. But, you know, that opens up a whole nother topic of just, you know, the role of our struggles with our humanness. And our weaknesses.
Which you kind of talked about that a little bit on Sunday.
Yeah. And, you know, how that plays into actual sin and, you know, what's our humanity and the struggles there and what's actual sin. And it gets, we need to talk that through. But the point being that we are in this life before glorification, on this side of justification and before glorification, we are still struggling with all sorts of things. Yeah. Humanness, brokenness, bodies, minds, as well as indwelling sin.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah. Well, it's very helpful. Thank you again for the sermon on Sunday. It had me walking out thinking, understanding what I've been saved from, which is beautiful.
Yeah. Amen.
But then going, if I know this to be true, and that's what the world needs, and I have a mouth, then I need to go share that.
Amen.
And during this time, Scott, I don't know what it's done, but the word evangelism has become much louder in my mind.
Amen.
And I know that brings a lot of fear, but I think that's what I walked out going, okay, I don't know a lot of solutions in our world because I'm not that smart sometimes, I feel like, thinking through all the issues today, but I do know this. I do know what saves us from our sin.
Amen.
And so, man, I hope that encourages us and encourages me to serve my brother and sister who are struggling with indwelling sin.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, good. Thank you again for a great sermon. Look forward to being back in Romans this Sunday.
That's right. Thanks.
And just a reminder for people, they'll be getting an email about registering for service, so check that out. It'll be coming out tomorrow sometime, so just be checking that and look forward to seeing you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.